What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of the Redheads Book Club June edition. Hey, girlies, we are back in studio for the first time since November. How's everyone doing?
Wow, is that how long it's been?
Yeah, because December was when Omicron hit the waves, and I was like, okay, we're going to do remote, right?
Wow. And then we never did it again after you had Harry?
No, because I was definitely not in Harryland.
Wow, I feel like it's been, like, we've been here more recently than that.
No, 6 months. Wow, that's crazy.
What?
Six Zoom episodes.
That's half a year.
Yes, counselor, it is.
That's crazy pants.
That's crazy. Except well, we didn't use Zoom. We used a really good platform that I don't even know if people realize that we weren't together.
No. Totally. I was about to say, the platform really transformed us because... Or transported us, sorry. I was like, I guess maybe it transformed us, but I meant to say transported. And because it doesn't feel like it's been 6 months
right.
No. since we've been together. But I guess we spend a lot of time together not recording the Redheads, so that's maybe why.
That's yeah. true. But now we can get back to Redheads tings. There's no post-show dinner, but maybe next time, you know?
Yeah.
Because I am hungry.
I did make sure to eat because I was scared I was going to be, you would be hearing my rumbling tummy on the pod.
And nobody wants to talk to a hangry snatchler.
No.
That's for damn sure.
Definitely.
So let's catch up with everyone before we get into everything. Snatchler, how are you doing?
I'm good. That's it.
Okay.
Baby girl.
What else do I have
Signed,
to
sealed, deliver.
I don't know. You're like the busiest woman in the world. So That's I would think true. You have more than good. But
I'm great.
Great. Positive snitch. This is going to be such a great episode.
Yes.
Dana, how are you?
I'm good, too. So happy to be back with my girls. Love that it's summer. It's been 1,000 degrees, mm-hmm. but luckily I have had the opportunity to be at the beach the past 2 weekends, so I'm just really here for summer.
Great. You have a nice little sunburn.
You do.
Thank you. I'm, like, peeling everywhere. I'll never learn.
Do you Dana. Wear sunscreen?
I did wear sunscreen, but, like, doesn't matter.
Okay. At least you tried.
Exactly.
Speaking of a nice tan, Bex, how yeah, are you doing?
Always.
Ooh, I know. Summer season is upon us. And I honestly, being at the beach is the best feeling in the world, but mostly because my complexion is like 10 times better than it is pre-summer. And I have to wear less makeup, which is just more sleep for the Bex.
That's you know? Nice. I need to get a spray tan.
I need to get a tan. I need to get my base done. That way, like now, every time I step outside, I just get tan.
You didn't get tan this weekend in
I
Hamptons?
I did. For like a minute, I can't even see, it's already gone.
Honestly, like you were too busy in the club this weekend to like
but,
see the
club was outside.
Right.
That's fair.
But it was at sundown.
Sure.
I feel like you slept all day, raged all night, did it all again.
Yeah, 100%. Literally. But people would rage during the day and then go out at night. I was like, nah.
Oh, that's a lot.
A little two for action. Yeah, we can't do 2-a-days anymore.
No, especially 3 days in a row.
If you can't, we can't.
Honestly, I was telling someone last night, we had a pitcher of margaritas this weekend, and I looked around and I was like, I'm still shaking from Snitch's birthday. Like, I'm not recovered fully.
Wow. Really?
It was like 6 months ago at this point. The last time we recorded an episode in studio was when I had too much tequila at Snitch's birthday, and I'm still unwell, you guys.
Wow, Snitch's birthday will do that to you.
Yeah, no, honestly... But that was all I wanted, was for people to not recover and it really leave a mark.
You took them out.
I took them out.
Did you miss us this weekend? Were you thinking about us and you were so excited to see us?
Yeah, 100%.
Did you read this weekend? When did you read the book?
When you texted us, so, is this a fast read? I'm like, she ain't reading
so
this.
You know what's so crazy is that I was like, I thought it'd be an easy read, whatever. And then I looked and it was like 458 pages and I was like, actually, fuck. Because normally when it's like 500 page books, it takes me like actually a week. And I was being crazy. Like, during the days, I was like, you guys, like, everyone to, like, walk around town. Chap, I was like, guys, like, you guys can go. But, like, I have to lay in bed. Like, I have to, A, I need to fucking rest. And B, I was like, I have to read. And even though the book was 500 pages, like, the percentages were going up mad quick.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Every I single agree book too. I've read recently, I'm staring at the percentage. Same. And it won't change. This one, I, like, barely looked at it. And every time I did, I was like, whoa, 30, same. 40. Yeah, I guess that's a sign of enjoyment.
Yeah, maybe. But
something was up with the percentages.
I feel like I couldn't agree more. Yeah. What'd you say?
I couldn't agree more. Something was up with the percentages. Yeah, right? How was it doing
that? I think it might not have actually been 458 pages.
Maybe.
Like, maybe there was, like... Wait, you know how all the lyrics were in the back of the book?
Oh, that's definitely, that was definitely probably, like, 30 pages.
It's like, yeah. Jax, you were talking about, like, that bibliography recently.
But then it has the opposite effect. It's so slow. The percentages move so slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the second half of the book, you don't actually have to read.
That's so true.
So...
maybe the chapters were really short. I feel like I was finishing a chapter every 3 minutes. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, there was a lot of blank space on each page because each chapter
there
was
a lot of blank space on each page. Yep. Like, there would be, like, one line for the end of it and then blank.
And I'll that's write your name.
I can't. I do remember at one point I was at 81% and it was chapter 81.
What'd you say?
I was at 81% and it was chapter 81 and I was like, 81 chapters? That's what on
each
earth?
Page is one chapter.
That's insane.
But I actually like that now that I'm thinking about it, and I guess that's why James Patterson is so successful. Like, his books, they're page turners.
We'll get there.
Oh, wow. Okay, we might have a dissenter in the group. Well, that leads to our discussion about this book. But before we get into it, we have some book news, which is our new segment. There's not a ton of book news, but I did want to make mention of the fact that this book, Run, Rose, Run, is going to be adapted into a movie with Dolly Parton to star in it. Whoa. And
I can't,
produce.
I can't.
We will talk about all of that in the Hollywood treatment, but I just wanted to make mention of it in our book news.
No, that's great book news. I didn't know that.
And no, it's great book news.
Yeah, no, it's
like, we have to let it go, but okay. Oh my God. Like, I made a fucking album too.
Oh my God.
I can't.
We'll get into it. But before we do, a summary of the book we read, Run, Rose, Run, by James Patterson, acclaimed author, probably, like, best-selling author of all time, mm-hmm. and Dolly Parton, best-selling country music singer of all time. And they collaborated for what was really a Patterson x Parton novel. It was about a girl named Annie Lee Keys, or so we think, but that's her name for most of the book. And she is on the run. We don't know from what, but she runs into Nashville and she takes the town by storm. She is deeply talented and motivated and scrappy and wanting to make it big. And she actually finds a lot of success pretty early on in the book, in no small part because she meets a country music legend who's giving Dolly Parton vibes, obviously, named Ruth Hannah, who kind of takes her under her wing and navigates her through the industry. Literally by 30%, Annie Lee Keys was, like, having meetings all over town and her songs on the radio. And I like that the whole book wasn't her struggling to get famous. Like, she got famous pretty quickly. Then other issues arise. She's also working very closely with a man named Ethan Blake, who works for Ruth Hannah, who's been charged with looking after her because Annie Lee Keys keeps showing up battered and bruised and having been beaten up. She says that she was randomly jumped, but we, the reader, know that there's more to it. Something personal, not random. Her and Ethan forge, like, a very deep connection over music, and obviously they're falling in love, but Annie Lee Keys won't let herself go there because of her past. She could never have a future with, you know, a wraparound porch with Ethan like she would love to have. They go on tour together. Annie Lee does, like, a small city tour, and along the way she's, you know, getting threats and worried about people from her past coming to find her. When she's on her last tour stop in Vegas, they do find her. She jumps out the balcony of her hotel four stories and lives to tell the tale. She runs away from the hospital. Everyone's like, where is Annie Lee Keys? Ethan goes and finds her, because thank God he did, because she winds up in her ex-domestic partner's cellar, his root cellar. And then they get justice for what Annie Lee had been through. And in the last, you know, five pages, they let us know everything that was building up in the rest of the book, which is that she came from a really hard childhood. She left her stepdad, who was abusive, to go be with a man who also turned out to be abusive. When she wanted to leave, he felt that he owed her and he sold her into human trafficking. So she was trafficked for a few years before she was able to escape to Nashville when the book starts. Once her truth comes out, she's able to live her life freely, be with Ethan, perform at the CMAs, and, you know, be free. So that's the book. overall thoughts on the book. I'll go first since this was a Jackie's choice. Wow, I forgot to say that already. And my overall thoughts were that I liked it so much. I looked forward to picking it up. It went by so quickly. If I haven't read any book aside from The Redhead's Curse that has been on our shoulders for the past few months, all the books I've been reading recently have been a little painful. And this broke that curse for me too. I remembered what it was like to read a book that I thoroughly enjoyed. And so I really like the book. I love the country music elements. I love Nashville. The last trip we took, girls trip, was to Nashville a year ago. Hey. And so many of the places, the obviously Broadway, it's all there. You know, when they talk about like the bachelorette parties, like that was us, even though we weren't on a bachelorette party. And I just loved, I loved so many of the elements, and I really felt like I didn't know what it was going to be like for James Patterson and Dolly Parton to write a book together. I don't even know either of them that well. I should know Dolly better, but like I kind of don't.
I'm surprised.
I know, because like she's literally
you in would a nutshell
be, would be my queen.
She cured COVID.
She right, and every like she's so pink and feminine and country and like me, but. So I didn't know what to expect in the book from these two people, and it gave me everything that it should have given, I believe. I loved how the lyrics were so intertwined in the book. I thought they were good lyrics. The album was something else.
Oh, I need to hear about that.
Oh my God. Did you listen?
Okay, no. So
oh my God.
When a song came up in the book, like Driven, then I went to the album and I went to listen to it. And like I expected, you know, woman, microphone, guitar, stripped down, just basically like singing her poetry.
It was like yodel, yeah.
It was literally a yodel. Like it was so country.
Also, like love Dolly,
and Dolly.
But she
sang
obviously
every song.
Shouldn't have been the one to sing the songs that would have been Annie Lee's. Like
right,
the ones that are Ruth Hanna's, sure. But you need. She should have found the nice part.
Casey Musgraves.
Yeah, no. If she had found like. What if she discovered a new up-and-coming artist, like, while doing this? You know what I mean?
Right. So that was a real letdown. I didn't even... Honestly, I listened to two of the songs that accompanied because I was like, oh, maybe later in the book they change up this song and that's why it sounds like that. So I listened to the next one, too, and I was like, no.
Oh, I meant to
I
listen.
Didn't listen. I don't. I didn't listen this to morning. Anything else.
Oh, my God.
It was not... It was not it. So that was a disappointment. But overall, the whole book really reminded me of the show Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, such a similar thing, like Raina James and Juliet Barnes, you know, the older and the younger, and they're in competition, and it's set in Music City. And so this was really just that in the book with a little bit of thrill. I loved it. Next, who should I call on? I'm going to go with a very neutral party, Dana.
I, too, felt overwhelming relief after reading this book. Like, I wouldn't say I loved it, but I didn't hate it, and that was such a win. It was just a really nice book. I realized I really like books about, like, music and fame and artists coming to find themselves. Like, that's a trope that resonates with me. As we mentioned, it was so digestible to read. I, like, flew by, which was huge. And my only complaint... is that we spent literally the entire book waiting for the suspenseful secret to come to light, and they gave it three sentences, and I, hot take, didn't find it as scandalous as I was expecting. Not to downplay it because she went through tragedy, but like still I was thinking like those two girls were her kids. I thought her stepdad raped her, and like those two girls at the end were her daughters. Like I was getting,
I kept
like,
thinking about how like if I kept waiting for the trope of like she got pregnant because like
same
every
no,
time
same, that's
like,
what I meant yeah like I like, thought those girls were her daughters
because every time that they came for her like in her hotel room and then she was like and then I blacked out and we're like we don't know what happens at that point and you're just blacking out like did they rape her every time
oh
in the hotel rooms no in her past when they like oh yes
no like
yes.
When
I would assume she was like trafficked like human trafficking
no I'm
abuse.
Saying when they came for
when
her
when she was already Annie Lee Keys and they
came and they speaking and they took her out of the shower she was naked on the like
no I don't think so but
I don't think so I don't know no I think she blacked out like from you know they put her into like a coma not because she was disassociating from whatever
I took
happened.
It as disassociation
no. I think it's from the pain like you black out.
And my last comment is this author needs to find another word than ornery to describe someone who's stubborn.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I would like to do like a count of how many times the word ornery was used.
You can do that on the Kindle. We need to figure out how to do it because we also need to do it for the last book for how many times she used like, what was the word?
Peppery.
No.
Like one of the annoying nicknames.
No, nothing like that. It was the word like, fuck. Dana, I texted you about it. Can you?
What was our book?
All roads lead here. I'll cut out the silence. I need to find
all I know is that, like, she described things as peppery 4,000 times more than any normal person should.
She said the word literally so many times. And then you also said, she says, but no big deal.
Like, oh, yes, no big deal.
Yeah. Also, this book reminded me of All Roads Lead Here. Because it was like the country singer songwriter coming from Nashville songs in her head, like with the spooky past.
Can you also remind me what happened in All Roads Lead Here?
The landlord.
It took 500 pages for them to have a sex scene, but they gave us.
They had the
should they move honestly, to the country?
Honestly, we can't go back there.
We're no, but just tell me what the premise was. She's no, doing a terrible fucking
we
job.
We just told you.
No.
She moves into that house in the middle of nowhere. Her mom hiking.
The hiking. Oh, yeah. with the guy and the son. Whatever.
And then like famous. Fame.
Yeah, her ex-husband who wouldn't marry her and wouldn't acknowledge her.
Right. Grammys.
This is literally that, but like a better version.
We're literally playing Pictionary, like three words. Sounds like.
No, 100%.
Okay, Dana, I'm glad that you liked it. Let's throw to Snitch. What did you think?
I mean, I liked it. This is like my type of book.
This is your beat.
Yeah, like them talking about Luke Combs, like, you know.
He had two name drops
mm-hmm. and Maren Morris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love that. But as I was reading the book, I was like, I can't tell if this is like the most amazing book I've ever read or like so fucking stupid. And
maybe both.
I haven't decided yet. But I did really enjoy it and it went by very quickly. There were some things I would have just like loved to have changed about the book. Like, I really couldn't fucking stand how stubborn she was. Mm-hmm. Like, it made me so angry. And also, like, it was a little too easy for her to get famous. Like, that's just, like, not how it works.
Agreed. And I thought that at the beginning. So it's like, wow, this girl has all the luck. And then you read further and it's like, oh, she actually has none of it. Like, this one thing went right in her life. And she really is, you know, that talented. There are some people, when you hear them, there are some people who really get famous so quickly because everyone that they perform for is impressed.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, true.
And I can't think of anyone, but I know that there
Justin
are.
Justin Bieber?
No.
Actually, yeah, no. Like, Usher saw him. And it, for the next day, like, worldwide mm-hmm. stardom. Justin Bieber. Thank you, Dana. Justin, run. Bex, what did you think?
I thought that the book was good. And I think that we needed this kind of book.
I agree.
Like, it was, like, we can all agree that it was a worthwhile read. And it went by quickly. And you didn't mind picking it up. And it flew by. And I had a nice time with it. I agree with Dana that to get to the build-up, the juice, I'm not sure, was worth the squeeze. And I do not want to discredit the trauma that she went through, but I was really surprised. Like, at 95% was when we learned that she went through what she went through, and at 98%, the book was over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry, wait, what? And it kept building up, and I was like, the book's about to end. Like, when are we going to find this out?
Yeah.
I thought that it should have ended after she jumped out the window. Like, I thought, like, the back half of the book, I was like, why are we doing this right now? Like, we're going on this wild road trip. And
when she ran away from the hospital, I was frustrated.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
let these people help you.
Yes. I was starting to, I thought that the first half of the book was really good. And then I thought the back half of the book was less good. So it started, like, my overall taste for the book is a little sour because I thought the back half was like, ugh, like a big nothing burger sort of.
Yeah.
But I really liked the first half. So I have to remind myself of that. And I agree, Snitch. I thought she was just like a little too differentiated in her approach
and
to
also,
being famous.
Like, could she just stop making poor decisions? Mm-hmm. Because
what
like
did she do that hurt you?
No, all stop getting in their fucking cars, man.
The hitchhiking.
Also, like, tell the truth to the people who care about you.
Yeah,
right.
I hated all the lying. I was like, these people love you and they need to help you. And like, if you're about to blow up famous, how are you not going to address this?
100%. Obviously, it's going to come out. Also, you're fully fucking lying to that reporter. Like, she's going to figure it out. She's going to go to that town that you said. And then be like, who the fuck are you talking about? Like, that made no sense to me.
It was like discrediting the intelligence of the entire music community.
No, she would have gotten canceled in a few years.
Yeah.
Like, her whole backstory turned out to be not true. But then, when the truth did emerge, I think, you know, she would have been very sympathetic.
She didn't have to put, like, an ID on file when she signed with the management company. Like,
right.
When she went missing, they're like, wait, we don't even know her name.
Does she even have an ID? Also, like, thank God she told Ethan Blake the teeniest bit of truth, or else They would have no fucking idea where to have found her.
Yeah. Yeah, that is frustrating.
I was frustrated. There were times where I was really frustrated. I was like, this man is laying it all out there for you. Told you he got literally arrested for murder.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
Murder. And so there were just moments where I had frustrations. I'm also confused about, like, do you think Dolly wrote any of it, or was it just her name?
I kept thinking about
that. Okay, so I read a Q&A with her and James Patterson, and I think that she gave him the songs. She did give him the songs. She, like, they were collabing on a book, and then he was like, I woke up into my email with, like, 7 full songs written out. So I think that he was able to, like, frame the narrative around songs that she was writing, and vice versa. Like, she wrote songs based on the story that he was writing.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think, like, the details about, like, Nashville, country music, you know, like, guitars, what it, like, a diva's wardrobe would entail, like, those sorts of details.
But he, like, definitely wrote it, and she just, like, sprinkled gave it, her Dolly information.
Sprinkles. So yes. Symbiotic.
Yeah, I don't That's think cool. I don't think they should be, like, splitting the revenue 50-50, but yeah. I don't know how it would work, the rev share.
We should get them on the show. And
yeah, I'm questions. Very curious. So let's get into the DBQs. We have amazing questions that were written by Dana, because shockingly, there was no reader's guide.
Shockingly.
Isn't How
do you have a Patterson Dolly Parton collab and have no reader's guide?
A Patterson Parton.
How are the readers supposed to be guided without a reader's guide? I don't know, but Dana actually wrote better questions than the reader's guide usually provides.
Of course.
So I'm excited to get into them.
I always love when we show up to the show and, like, you and Dana made a whole guide.
Yeah, like,
and
you guys, like, there's an agenda.
And me and Snitch, like, just skip up being like, so what are we talking about? Like,
no,
I'm
Jackie
sorry.
Did the entire thing. I literally put 5 bullets.
Thank you for your work.
No, you did the most.
No, you're the most. Like, you really did. Like, my outline, I copy and paste from the last show. I put in, like, it's the structure. Then I put in all the questions, and some are DBQs,
guys,
which you wrote.
Guys, we're our secret sauce.
Some are DBQs, which you wrote, and the others are Redhead's questions, which I get from the email.
My mom's always like, Jackie does such a nice job leading the conversation. She really keeps you guys going.
The summary is hard.
Summary is hard.
That's a hard thing to do.
Because, like, no, you're a good, I always forget what happens.
Now I'm a viral summarizer. Do you see my rendition of Cat in the Hat?
Yeah, Cat in the Hat and the Batman cat.
You liked the cat.
I did.
The cat went splat.
The bait, the shake, the rake, and the cake. Have you seen this?
No.
Claudia and I are going viral on TikTok. We started clipping clips from the Morning Toast. And so when I was recapping the Cat in the Hat, we clipped it and put it on TikTok. It has 1 million views.
Are you kidding?
Mm-mm. You'll have to watch it later. Yeah.
Wow. So 1,000,001 after this, girl.
That's where the Redheads is where I practice my book summaries.
Beautiful.
Now let's get into the DBQs, which are brought to you by Shelf Savvy. You can get the books you love at the price you love. Shelf Savvy searches for the best book deals so you don't have to. Discover premium deals you won't find anywhere else. Not only does Shelf Savvy offer amazing deals on ebooks, but unlike other online book sale sites, Shelf Savvy has paperback and hardcover books too, so you can save on books no matter how you like to read. Discounts on print books are always 45% off or more, and for ebook lovers like us, get your favorite reads for less than $4. Plus, you can add a book to your watch list to make sure that you always get the books on your TBR at the best price. Just add the books you want to read to your watch list, and Shelf Savvy will alert you when it goes on sale so you never miss a book deal again. Spend less money, read more books. It's that easy. Get fresh deals every day at Shelf Savvy. Visit shelfsavvy.com to learn more and sign up today. There are so many great Redheads reads that are already on Shelf Savvy, including Girl with No Job, which we love, The Four Winds, The Good Sister, and A Slow Fire Burning. They add new deals daily, so check it out. First question, what did you think of Ruth Hannah Ryder and Annie Lee's relationship? Who needed who more?
Ooh, hard hitter to begin.
I think that Annie Lee obviously needed Ruth Hannah more.
Yeah.
I was so annoyed in the beginning when she told Ruth Hannah, the biggest star in the world, to go screw herself and then, like, tiptoed out early in the morning before Ruth Hannah could give her pancakes. Like,
but, like, that's,
you want to be the biggest star?
Unrealistic. And, it's like, why do they love her so much when she, like,
also Ruth Hannah's supposed to be
giving.
This big, tough woman who's, like, screaming at Ethan Blake for being 3 minutes late and, like, refuses to come out of retirement and all of a sudden is a huge softie for, like, this blonde girl she never met before.
Yeah, well, I guess she heard her sing, and, like, you know, when you're a musical person, I imagine, you know, you see something in someone when they sing, and, like, yeah, she just knew that this girl needed her help, that, like, she could help her, and then she, like, channeled all of her abilities into helping Annie Lee. And I think the fact that, like, Annie Lee left the next morning, she didn't overstay her welcome, you know, she didn't
She wasn't being a chaza.
She wasn't a chaza. Like, she didn't have the pancakes. Like, you leave them wanting more. Yeah. And then they were like, oh, wow, this girl, you know, she's not a freeloader. Most people, if Dolly, and I think of Ruth Hanna as Dolly.
Obviously.
If Dolly Parton invites you into your home, like, you're taking every meal you can get, every scrap. And instead, she was, you know, very humble about it.
And she was so hungry. I couldn't even stop thinking about
Me
it.
Me too. I was like, how?
That sort of reminded me of Four Winds, where, like, you couldn't feel.
Yes.
The despair, you know, the descriptions of like her hunger or her tiredness or her discomfort sleeping on like the ground in the park, like was very well described because you could really feel it.
I was so happy when she got to shower and then she was in that white robe. And the book did leave out a lot of important details, but they did do a good job. Like, I was wondering what she was going to do with her dirty clothes. What was she going to change into? And they acknowledged that, like, she got a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of plot holes.
What do you think the plot holes were? I'm curious.
Just, like, I feel like there was a lot of things that were, like, random. Like, what did the whole Mikey Schumer thing really have to do with anything?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't part of the whole thing.
He was supposed to be a suspect of, like, who was beating her up, but we knew immediately it was not him, so it was, like, a stupid one.
Yeah, I guess that was a little silly. Each character in this book harbored tragedies about their past. Ruth Hanna and her daughter's death, Ethan and his wife's death. How did Annie Lee's secret compare to the others, and how did you feel when she chose not to share her past, despite the other characters confiding in her about their own?
I think I alluded to this earlier, but I thought it was a little unfair that these... Mm-hmm. amazing souls are sharing these deep, dark wounds, and Annie Lee felt like she was exempt from the sharing circle.
I mean, in the caliber of, like, secrets to share, first of all, Ruth Hanna's secret isn't a secret. You know, it's out there. It's something very private and something that's, like, hard for her to talk about, but it's not like she's sharing something that's not known. She was just sharing how she felt about it. So I feel like at the stage of their relationship, like, that was a good time to share. That's Ethan's true. Secret, like... I'm sure, you know, the time he spent in prison was very hard, but for the most part, like, it's over, you know, and it's, like, just something in his past. I felt like for Annie Lee, like, it was still very much in her present, and also the trauma that she experienced, like, you just never get over.
But also, like, what also bothered me is, like, why didn't we know that Ruth Hanna told Annie Lee about Ethan?
I like that we didn't know. I like that there was, like, a surprise, because also the whole book wasn't just from one person's POV. So obviously things were happening.
I do have to say that I loved that it would switch, like, perspectives, like, in the middle of a paragraph.
Because, like, it was written in the third person.
Yeah,
right?
It was like...
So it wasn't really even switching perspectives. It was just like they described someone else's perspective.
Yeah, I liked that. Yeah. That was enjoyable.
Yeah, that's like... Isn't that the normal way to write a book?
I wouldn't know, because every fucking book has different chapters timing.
Like, but I feel like the first person who wrote a book where, like, each chapter was from a different person's POV was, like, you know... Isaac Newton. It was like the biggest invention.
Albert Einstein.
But before that, like, they just wrote what was happening.
A story.
Yeah.
Well, Annie Lee in that said something interesting where she was like, I feel bad that he shared with me, but he was someone who was accused of doing something that he didn't do, whereas I had something
done to
unspeakable
me.
Done to me, and it's different, which I guess, but I kind of felt like she was almost in a better situation. Like, you had no culpability, not that Ethan did, but, like, this was done to you. So therefore, like, no one is going to judge you. The only emotion that could really be evoked is pity. Like, I know that you're fearful that everyone's going to look at you differently, but, like, if anything, they would just feel bad for you, which is not a good feeling either. But, like, I thought she did something terrible and didn't want to tell anyone because, like, they would hate her. But really something terrible was done to her and she didn't want to be pitied or, like, looked at differently.
But also, like, once again, like, that we didn't figure out who killed, like, Ethan Blake's wife. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that was a little random.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, did you do
it? Right. Like,
I don't think he did totally. It, but who did it?
Right.
Who done it?
Who done it?
Yeah.
Like, why did we choose to leave that out?
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, would it have been so wrong to be like, I was falsely accused of, like, but her
then we found out that the guy she was fucking did it or something.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I think the story was just, like, about her, and the only reason they even revealed his secret was to serve as a foil to her not revealing hers. So, like, they weren't focused on us solving his stuff. They just wanted to, like, highlight her stuff.
But I don't think in general, like, if someone opens up to you, like, that means you are obligated to open back up to them. Like, it's not
tit for tat. It's when you're ready.
And I do think, like, it should... definitely inspire you to do the same, but it's not, you know, quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. And she did give him a little bit, and that was actually what eventually led to him finding her. So that didn't bother me so, like, I was bothered for her because I'm like, let this man help you. Like, he's literally a knight in shining armor, and, like, I know you don't want to be a damsel in distress, but just, like, take the help.
Yeah. It's frustrating when, like, the omniscient perspective could see how much better it would be for her to open up, right, but, like, she can't.
Like, and that he's actually, like, a strong person. Like, he's military. He can help you. He can protect you. Like, you're good. Just let him know.
And, like, they are driving together, and, like, the people are also following Ethan, you know? Like, it's not just you anymore. Like, he is now implicated because he is your quote-unquote bodyguard. He is your chauffeur, and you are both being chased.
When she grabbed the fucking wheel.
I was just about to say that. Like now knowing what we know.
That made me so mad.
Yeah, now knowing what we know, it's like, what was going to happen?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like she didn't do anything wrong. She wanted to kill him anyway. She went to go kill him, so, like, let Ethan kill him.
Yeah, no, but that was Dee in the car, right? Dee's people.
Yeah.
Not ex-husband's people. But she went to kill ex-husband. Also confusing. When she jumps out the window because Dee shows up, she's like, fuck this, I'm going to kill my husband.
Yeah. And not Dee.
Right. Because he started it, but still, that doesn't finish it whatsoever.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, she should have just let Ethan hit the car. I thought there was going to be a reason why, like, they had to stay alive.
I thought that she had done something so wrong that she couldn't have Ethan find out. Then you find out that she hadn't done anything. Something terrible was done to her. So mm-hmm. I was like, why are we doing this?
Why are we protecting these people?
I think we all agree on this.
Yeah. Did you listen to the corresponding audio for the book's songs, and how did it shape your opinion? As stated, we tried. It was a flop, and I'm very disappointed.
I didn't want to ruin the book, so I didn't listen until the book was over. Thank God.
Yeah.
I, like, kind of want to, because I will say I like the lyrics in that part of the book, but there's something so cringeworthy about reading lyrics when you don't know the tune.
Yeah.
No, like, can't and ain't. Like, they kept rhyming those. I'm like, oh.
No, but when I read it, I really just saw it being, like, Kacey Musgrave style, like, just singing your poetry. There's not, like, a crazy beat or anything. It's just, like, can I fix it?
No, I can't.
Will it change it? No, it ain't. Like, you know, like, something just, like, really slow and, like, from the heart. When I turned, you know what? I'm just going
to
play.
Yeah, I need to play it so badly. It.
I'll play, like, the first 10 seconds. So
of Driven.
It was giving me Bob the Builder vibes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're so right. You're so right. Is it Run or Driven?
Driven.
Okay. Are you okay?
We're at a hoedown.
Okay.
I'm picturing people like do-si-do-ing.
That's just like wasn't the vibe. That's not what she was doing at the cat's paw.
Wait, listen to this one.
Which one?
Dark Knight, Bright Future.
Oh, yeah.
Like all of them are like this. Like, I'm sorry, she didn't
like
go
a phoenix
into,
from the ashes, you shall rise
she
again.
She didn't go into New York City with that song and
win
sweep
over
people off their feet.
No.
Now do you understand?
I'm so happy we did listen to this.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we saved you guys so you don't have to listen.
I'm shook. She needed like a little bit like of a slower, more moody, melancholy.
I said to Snitch, like Lennon Stella vibes. You guys ever listen to Lennon Stella?
Yeah.
Like, it's
that's
very...
Me?
No, her sister is you, Maisie.
Oh, my God. You are Maisie.
Dana is Maisie, yeah. Okay, next question. Do you wish the book delved deeper into Annie Lee and Ethan's romance after he saved her, or were you satisfied with fast-forwarding 9 months to their engagement?
I mean, are you kidding? Like, we didn't even get a kiss.
Yeah. I wrote that for you, Snitch.
Like, that was so wrong. Also, for it to be like, I love you, Annie Lee. 9 months later, I was like, what, she had a baby?
Same.
Like, I
so true.
Just,
nine
like,
months.
Didn't, I was so upset by it. Give me your first sex scene. Something.
I feel like they did that on purpose, 9 months. For, like, so for a second, you were like, oh, my
yeah,
God.
You're so right.
Okay, you guys, also, I highlighted something in the 9 months later section. They talked about a diamond ring on her third finger. And I was like...
Middle finger?
Well, no.
Count for, oh.
I guess your third finger, because a thumb is, like, considered a thumb.
No. Your thumb is a finger.
No.
No, but I think you're right. Like, the way they define fingers, like, they would say third finger.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Perhaps. I don't think he's messed it up.
No, I was like, oh, she's not engaged.
She's wearing an Aura ring.
I was like, oh, she got a promise ring on her middle finger.
That's so funny. I personally was so satisfied. Like, sure, I'm for the snitches. Like, we could have had a sex scene. I don't think James and Dolly were going to collab on that. I like that it was like 9 months, she's successful, she's free, and she's got her man.
Yeah, I didn't mind the no sex scene.
Because we also complain when it's like they do too much at the back end.
Mm-hmm. I've never
complained. We complained about that recently.
Too much love
too
making?
Much like epilogue.
Oh,
you know, where it's like, my God. Shut the fuck up.
All roads lead here, where they're like, oh, now we're in the hotel. And then she went into her and then the doors open, and then her mom came in, and she punched the stepmom. And
yes.
Yeah. Okay. There was like a whole nother book in the epilogue. Yeah.
How did your own relationship with country music in Nashville influence your feelings of the book, Snitch?
I mean, it made me like it even more. If this was like about, like, I don't know, fucking like folk music. Actually, I do like sort of.
I need to listen to the album.
Yeah, I do like folk music. If it was about like a genre I didn't care about, I don't think I would have liked it nearly as much. Yeah, like jazz. I don't think I would have liked it nearly as much.
Yeah, but it could have been about a lot of genres. Someone asked that in the Redheads questions. Like, if this was about pop or rap, would you have liked it as much? And I do think that I would have. I think it would have been really good about a pop star. And I think it would have been really good about a rapper. And I love that it was about country music.
And Nashville, particularly for this Redheads group, is so fun because we all went together. So it just, like, really added a nice vibe.
I think it made me like the book way more that it was. Because it was such, like, a joyous energy about the reading and the book and the success and the fame and the Nashville elements. I just think that country music is like lighthearted and delightful.
Yeah.
So
that's so beautiful.
And you guys, like, Jax really, and I guess Snitch and like Claudia, I feel like you guys like introduced me to country music. I never listened. I would ask Jax for like artists and albums that I needed to study.
Yeah, but it wasn't until we went to Nashville that you were like, now I'm feeling the itch to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there were artists that you got me really into, but it wasn't until we went to Nashville that I started like really liking it.
Yeah. And I feel like there aren't many other, maybe there are like smaller genres, but like it's like country music Nashville. Like a lot of other genres, it's like New York, LA, Chicago. Like you're in all three of those places, but like for country music, like you really only have to make it in Nashville and then you've made it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll you know, market you to the rest of the world.
It's also such like a tight-knit, fun community in Nashville. And like, even when you watch the CMAs, like, there's just such good vibes.
Yeah.
And everyone's like so happy.
It's a great community to like really dive into and write a book about.
Country music respects the hell out of the morning toast.
No, it really does.
Ain't that the truth? Next question. Ethan Blake cannot relate to the urge for fame and instead prefers humble performances at dive bars. How did this unusual approach from a successful artist resonate with you?
I loved it. I just liked how success can come in all different shapes and sizes, and you don't need to be on the stage at MSG to love what you do and be fulfilled.
100%.
I agree. And well, there are so many musicians who are successful both internally and externally, and like not all of them are chart topping world touring artists. Like a lot of them just play in a band and they get to be musical. They even, a lot of them are very rich, but that doesn't necessarily mean have to be famous. You don't even have to be rich to like have success doing music, but you can make a really good career out of it. And like there are more of those people than there are, you know, the Dolly Partons.
I feel like that's like any genre or like any type of vocation, sort of. Like
yeah.
You can be an incredible inventor, but nobody knows your name, but you've still done incredible things and you're brilliant and you're doing what you love, but like you just don't get like people like writing biographies about you per se.
And it feels like the more popular you get, like the more detached you become from the original art.
Yeah.
Which Annie Lee was even feeling like after her first meeting with the talent agency, like, wait, I want to get back to the music.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are able to like maintain the music and not get a big head maybe are the most successful.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, Taylor Swift, that's who you think?
Mm-hmm.
Maintains
the
music.
She never got a big head.
Yeah. I mean, it's like impossible not to, but
I'm sure like there in some way she has a big head. Like if don't be offended, don't be upset.
She couldn't physically have the same size head as she did when she was 16. Yeah. One, because she's grown, and two, because her life is so radically different. Like that would be weird.
But her music, she like, still kept to the art.
Yes, the art is what she wants to be
if
making.
If she's in a room full of people, do you think that anybody is doing anything other than fawning over her? You know, like,
and that messes with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Period. Mm. Period. Also, it's like he's.
I think she's as grounded as she could possibly be.
You might be right.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that she is
on the ground.
On the ground.
Hmm.
Ethan is like one of those people. It's like when you watch the Grammys or the CMAs and like the person up there is like thanking profusely all the people who made it happen. Like he's one of those people.
Yes.
Several characters in the book that note that talent is not enough to become famous because you need that X factor to captivate a crowd. Do you think raw talent is enough for fame, or do stars really need some other personal trait to make it big?
No, I feel like you hear that messaging like time and time again. That it's just like having a good voice is like not enough.
Not enough, because you can have a good voice and not have the X factor or the grit or the thick skin that you need to make it. You can also have a mediocre voice and have the X factor, the
Taylor
grit.
Swift.
And well, she also has, she's immensely talented in like in her songwriting and like all of that.
But her voice itself is not.
If it was just her voice alone, she wouldn't be Taylor Swift.
I don't know why I'm so into analogies right now, but it's sort of like athletes, like being athletic is not enough. Like you have to like practice 24/7.
The work ethic. Yes.
Like you have to like really, really, really want to be successful and maintain your success in order to stay relevant.
And you have to like accept failure in the right way as opposed to letting it get you down. Like it takes a certain kind of person. So all of those things need to be locked in. A few could be missing, you know, but I think for the greats, they have talent and they have X and plus and work ethic and thick skin and this and that and people around them who are gonna help them get to where they need to be. So talent is not enough, period.
Agreed. Unless you're Ed Sheeran. Just kidding. Weird Ed Sheeran dig.
Weird Ed Sheeran dig.
We were
dig.
All like rendered speechless. Just
I just like was like, what?
She was like, came for so long. Oh my God, that's so funny. She must have been thinking about Ed Sheeran when she wrote the question.
I was.
That is really fucking funny. How did Annie Lee's rough past help fast track her success in ways that people who have never experienced hardship may not achieve?
She wasn't taking no for an answer. Like she was used to like rejection and shit like that. Like if it was someone who's just been spoon fed their whole lives and then someone tells them no, like they're going to lose their mind.
Or it's going to take them a minute to bounce back. Also, she had some, you know, points in the karma column waiting to be cashed in. For
and
what
when you have nothing to lose, you can go
That's
for
exactly
it all.
What I was going to say. Yeah. Like she was already at the bottom, you know, you couldn't get much lower.
Yeah.
So she was willing to do whatever it took.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, she didn't have friends. She didn't have a house. Like every single night she's out of the bars. Other people who are not in such dire straits, like things come up. Okay. We're not going to be able to go honky tonking and looking for jobs every single night. Mm-hmm. Maybe once a week I'll work on my passion.
Yes.
Why do you think Gus and or D, oh, that's the husband's name, Gus, were so intent on tracking Annie Lee down and threatening her? Was it realistic that they kept stalking her and beating her up but never actually killed her?
I was shocked that she was never killed.
Me too.
It was crazy. I was like, you guys,
like what was the point in not killing her?
Yeah.
To maybe like remind her that they can hurt her, so not to open her mouth about what happened to her.
But like, if they didn't want her to open her mouth about what happened to her, then kill her.
Well, they were like, she's like, I haven't told anyone. And they're like, you're singing about it. It's like, okay, but she hasn't told anyone. So like, she's not going to at this point.
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah.
They were just like beating her up, like going cross country, like all the time, or sending people to just like beat her up.
So she could tell, like,
even though she hadn't done anything other than escape, which I thought, you know, they'd be trying to bring her back.
Right. Yeah. Right. That part very
that
much.
They would like go find her, hurt her, not kill her, not take her.
And like remind her not to talk, even though she wasn't talking.
Right.
And if they thought she was talking, then they would have killed her. But they did think she was talking because she was singing.
Yeah. Plot hole.
Plot hole. Yeah. Agreed. Okay, now it is time for the redhead questions. We got great questions from our readers. And before we get into them, I need to let you know today's episode is also brought to you of Function of Beauty. I love Function of Beauty on an individual level, but I also love it as a sponsor for this podcast because we are four girls with very different types of hair. So we should not be using the same type of shampoo and conditioner. And with Function of Beauty, we each have our own custom shampoo bottles. Not only are they customized on the inside, but the outside is custom as well. I'll let you know how Function of Beauty goes. It is the world's first fully customizable hair care that creates individually filled shampoos, conditioners, styling, and treatment formulas based on your hair now and where you want it to go. What are your goals for your hair? You want your hair to get longer, stronger, silkier, smoother? Function of Beauty has a formula for you. Here's how it works. First, you take the hair care quiz to build your profile and select 5 hair goals like lengthen, volumize, and oil control. Next, choose your color and fragrance or go dye or fragrance free. So I do go fragrance free, but I do like the color of my bottles to match my bathroom. So I have 1 blue bottle, 1 green bottle. I also like when the shampoo and conditioner are different colors.
Same.
So you can know which one's which. It's such a hack. I used to do like the same color for each because you think that you should. But now I'm like, blue, green, shampoo, conditioner. Then you will get your freshly filled formula delivered straight to your door and prepare for good hair days ahead. So say goodbye to generic hair care for good today. Go to functionofbeauty.com/book to take your hair goals quiz and you'll save 25% on your first order. Go to functionofbeauty.com/book to let them know you heard about it from our show and to get 25% off your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/book to take your hair quiz and save 25% on your first order. Redheads questions. Thank you to everyone who read along with us this month and wrote in. First up, one question I had about the book, was anyone else expecting Ethan Blake's wife's murder to tie into the story somehow? I feel like his jail time and release was mentioned in the story, but for no reason, because it was just kind of forgotten after he told Annie Lee about it. I expected that to be solved at the end, too.
Yes, not that exactly, but I sort of expected there to be a tie-in of everyone's trauma in some way, mm-hmm. because the buildup was so there was such a fixation that I was like, okay, like there must be some wild twist and turn that we're not expecting.
Oh, I wasn't expecting anything, but there should have been.
Yeah.
Usually there is.
It's I'm so sorry. I couldn't not do it.
You've ruined the episode. You have to delete and starting over. Welcome back.
Good one.
I see what you're saying. I didn't think about it, but I agree.
I'm not sure that this book required that level of sophistication. Like, I thought it was great the way it was, and it would have just been like a cherry on top. But in a way, I agree with this reader.
Same. This is what I said earlier.
It would have been too crazy if like Annie Lee had some sort of connection to either Ethan.
And I think even if they resolved it, I might have rolled my eyes and been like, of course, like tied up in a neat bow. They found the killer right when like 9 months later, everyone's life is perfect.
Like what if Annie Lee was like actually the one working on Ruth Anna's daughter's boyfriend's tour or something and was the one to tell him to break up with the girlfriend or like something crazy like that.
Or like what if
she supplied the girl the pills or something
crazy. Or, like, her stepfather was the one who, like, killed Ethan's wife. Like, something like that.
I think it would have been, like, this is so unrealistic.
Totally. Or what if Dee was the one who killed Ethan's wife? Like, he's a bad guy doing bad things.
Yeah, exactly.
But that would have been too unrealistic. Like, I guess James Patterson, like, doesn't go for gimmicks like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up, am I the only one who the entire time reading this imagined all the characters being those from the Hannah Montana movie? Like Miley as Annie Lee, obviously pop star and changing of the name. Ethan is that hunky cowboy whose name is escaping me.
Lucas Till.
The publicist is exactly like that in the movie. Vanessa Williams.
Yeah.
And Ethan going around town showing everyone pictures asking if they know this family or know this girl. Iconic. That's really funny. Didn't cross my mind.
Same.
To me, it was Nashville happening in my head. Like, Raina James was Ruth Hanna, if you watch Nashville. Even Jack as, like, Deacon Claiborne.
Yeah.
And then Annie Lee being Juliet Barnes is, like, smaller.
And then Ethan Blake is Avery.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Annie Lee was Scarlett singing her poems.
Oh, fuck no, please.
I know, but that's who it is. She's, like, really small and very timid, and she has these poems, and she's just putting them to music.
No, but, like...
And then Scarlett, she falls in love with Gunner.
No, Scarlett was she was not a tough bitch.
Snitch? It was Scarlett and Gunner.
No. Scarlett literally could not have lasted one night under a tree in the park.
Okay, fine. But she's closer to Scarlett than she was to Juliet Barnes.
Mm.
That means I'm right.
She's just neither.
Okay, next. Do y'all think that Ethan and Ruth Hanna's relationship trajectory wasn't well explained or didn't make sense? The book started with him being new to recording with Ruth Hanna and her team, to the two seemingly being extremely close, almost like a mother-son relationship.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He was, capital, she was yelling at him, and then 2 seconds later,
it was his first day on the job. He was late, and he was nervous, and his truck wasn't starting, and then he's this trusted confidant.
So true.
And she's going to meet him at the
I hadn't Cats thought Ball. About it reading it, but, like, being presented with it now, I'm, like, 100%.
I thought it the first time they, like, after they spoke again, and she was like, hey, Ethan, check out this, like, keep an eye on this girl for me. I was like, oh, I thought she just met him. And then I just pushed it to the back of my head, but yes.
And on a similar note, I found Ethan to be annoying when he was, like, harassing Ruthenna to come to the bar to watch her. Obviously, it all worked out. But I'm like, oh, my God, have you no shame? Like, this woman is very famous and she just yelled at you. Like, stop texting her.
Yeah.
I also thought it was weird how, like, poor he was. His truck being running on its last leg that he can't even get anywhere on time. And she is a very successful country star that, like, and I'm should sure pay she him pays, a better wage.
I'm sure she does.
Okay.
So, like, he should have had, like, someone he was sending his money to.
Like, he had to get a different fucking truck for the chase because his was so unreliable.
At least she paid for that one.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
I don't know.
And it was also unnecessary that his truck didn't work. And it was unnecessary that he got a new truck.
Like, yeah, but also, once again, like, plot hole, like, the flat tires really didn't affect the story. He made it. Do you know what I mean?
That was,
you know,
just creating, like, suspense. They make you sweat a little. Yeah. It's not like such an easy path right. to get
And then
to
he
her.
Got there immediately as she was putting her thumb up to hitchhike.
Yeah. Right. Okay, next. Dana, I have to know if every chapter talking about how no one is allowed to call her little bothered you as much as it did me. Every time she said it, I thought of you and your hatred for these types of books and tropes. That's funny. I thought she was going to say it because, like, you're little.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
It doesn't bother you.
No, I'm so happy this is acknowledged because that's spot on of how I was feeling. Like, so cringeworthy every time the little trope came up. Also, to your point, like, this bitch was probably, what, 5'2"? Try being 4'8", and then be called little. Like, I have no patience for this.
That was right. short joke.
And also, I thought they were going to tell us, like, why she didn't like being called little. Because, you know, like, Gus
no,
called
just
her
like
little.
No, it's just, like, her trying to be cutesy.
No,
like, her trying to be, like, a guy's girl.
Yeah, a pick-me girl.
Yeah.
I'm not little. I'm big. You know, it's just, like,
I'll watch sports and fuck you up in beer pong.
And height is not subjective. Like, you're either big or you're little.
Yeah. The little thing was so annoying.
Next up, I really enjoyed this month's read, but was anyone else disappointed that we didn't get at least one hookup scene with Ethan and Annie?
Yeah, obviously, guys.
Hell yeah.
Now that you say it, yeah.
Like, give me a peck?
Yeah, or like one steamy scene.
Yeah. They kept kissing on the cheek.
Okay.
Yeah, that was cute. Like, I liked their relationship.
I did too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked the slow burn, and I really felt like they were fusing together.
Yes.
I thought the book, this is the next question. I thought the book was good, but did you have any issues with the sudden plot lines that were randomly thrown in or weren't resolved? Like when Ethan said he was accused of murder, or how only one of the men seemed to be prosecuted involving Annie/Rose's case.
I love when, like, our thoughts match the redhead's thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
That's actually a good point about, like, the case. People getting prosecuted. But it bothers me again that, like, oh, like, this gets tied up sort of perfectly with a bow, and it could have been tied up 5 months earlier before you jumped out of a window and ran away.
Right.
Like really
justice
didn't.
Was served. It could have been served without all of this anxiety.
Hoopla.
I don't know. I didn't really feel that, like, this is unresolved feeling. I just was so annoyed about how long it took to get to the resolution of her secret.
Yeah. Next question. Did you all feel like there was so much buildup around why Annie Lee was on the run and not enough payoff when we found out what it was? I understand human trafficking is horrible, but they literally gave the final explanation one measly paragraph at the very end, but spent 350 plus pages prior, making it sound incredibly horrific and huge.
Yes.
I mean, she was jumped multiple times, stalked and jumped off a balcony, for God's sake. It just seemed like the buildup and payoff did not match up. Maybe I'm wrong. Would love to know what you all thought. I agree, but I just will say, like, okay, so she told us she was human trafficked, and, like, personally, I don't need the details. Like, I got it. And he could have done more paragraphs. Like, you know, the first night this happened, and then every night thereafter, mm-hmm. and there were this many people coming through, and I was okay not hearing it, you know?
I like that perspective.
Thanks. Next up. Overall, I felt the book was okay. My biggest issue with it was the discrepancy in the title to what actually happened in the book. Huh. I was expecting an adventure sort of story, a girl on the run, whereas she only ran down the street a few times, lol. She was pretty much stayed in Nashville the whole time and never was really in hiding. Was anyone else expecting a different story as well? So the title not matching the story.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing. I forgot what the book was called, and then at the end, I was like, run, Rose, run? Who the fuck is Rose?
Wait, no, same. I looked up, I went to go listen to the album, and I just typed in Dolly Parton and it said Run Rose Run. I was like, oh, she put out another album after this.
I totally agree. And it's not even like Run Rose Run is an amazing title that they need to, like, work around. It could have been, you know, Keys and the Sound of Annie Lee.
Yeah, it could have been anything else.
Yeah, Off Keys.
With Annie Lee.
Yeah. Annie Lee, get your gun. Like, there are so many, like, you know, country, sordid country mystery tale. Like,
it is weird to have a whole book centered around a character with a fake name and or title like with a real Driven. Name.
Driven, yeah. That, can I fix it?
No, I can't.
yeah, anything. Like, leave it to Dolly. She'll come up with... That's such a good point. It's like, you're literally, it's not until 85% we find out her name is Rose. So, like, the whole time it's like, what book am I reading?
No, literally.
Is it the wrong jacket on the book?
Yeah.
Best redhead so question.
Yeah. Next up, did you guys picture Dolly Parton as Ruth Hanna? And if so, did it throw you off that the songs were supposed to be sung by Annie Lee, but when you actually played them, they were Dolly Parton? Yes. Except I didn't really picture Ruth Hanna as Dolly. Mm-mm. I saw her as a brunette.
She was a redhead.
Oh, yeah, she was a redhead. Like, smaller. But now in thinking about it, like, she's the Dolly, but I don't see her as Dolly. Mm-hmm.
I sort of see her as Dolly.
Mm. What's her name?
Well, we'll get into it in Hollywood.
Well, no, that's not who I even casted. I'm just thinking now.
Yeah.
Something Judd.
Yeah.
Yes. She just passed away.
Oh, God.
But that's who I think of her as, too.
Yeah.
This next question is unrelated to this book. This podcast got me back into reading during quarantine, and now I've been reading consistently for the first time in years. So thank you all for influencing me to do so. I got into a debate with my boyfriend about reading, and I need you guys to weigh in. Would you consider reading to be a hobby? For me, it depends on how a person reads. In the past, I read a book here and there, or I'd bring a couple books on vacation with me. But now I always have a book I'm reading. I spend my time on Goodreads researching books, listening to you guys, and talking about books with other book friends. In my opinion, this makes it a hobby. What do you guys think?
I totally agree.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I do think in order to call reading a hobby, you have to do it semi-consistently.
Like anything else.
Yeah.
It's like, I like roller skating, but it's not my hobby. Yes. Because I haven't done it in years.
But if you did it every day, it would be a hobby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
For sure.
Glad we can agree.
Now, tell your boyfriend.
Tell your boyfriend it's your hobby and he can scram. Now it's time for the moral of the story.
The truth shall set you free.
Literally.
Can you fix it?
No, you can't.
I'm with Snitch. The truth shall set you free.
Same. I had unburden yourself, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
Plus 500 to everything you said.
Okay, great. Now for the fun part, the Hollywood treatment. Since this will be a movie, and it reads like a movie, and I can't wait. So for Annie Lee Keys, who did everyone have? Snitch.
My initial was Casey Musgraves.
Yeah, it's very on the nose.
Or Lennon Stella.
I like Lennon Stella. I like Lennon Stella for you. I had Rainey Qualley, who's Margaret Qualley's sister, who is a singer and an actress and so gorgeous. And she's an amazing singer. Remember, you've heard her music, yeah?
No? Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she would be amazing. I also thought personally she should have played Daisy Jones in the upcoming series. Mm. She would have been amazing Daisy Jones, so I hope she's at least Annie Lee Keys.
Yeah, I'm Googling her right now, and she's a great fit.
You should hear her voice.
Really?
Quaking.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had Megan Fox.
Dana? What?
And some, I know.
Do you have MGK as Ethan?
I was really having a tough time. That was a genuine... a redhead messaged me a recommendation for who she pictured as Annie Lee.
Was it that emo girl?
Yeah.
It's a video. Yeah, we all got the same.
I'm the only one.
Oh, I got that too. Yeah.
I'm dead. But I actually totally agree with her. Like, she was like edgy and doesn't take no bullshit from anybody and was dark hair like I thought.
That's so funny. Okay, random. Dana.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I had Emma Roberts.
No.
She's... Okay, no, because, like, there are so many more obvious choices. But she... You can really cast her in anything. She's always a safe choice.
Right?
She could have been All Roads Lead Here. She could have been in Our Country
Friends. I just can picture, like, sleeping in the park, waking up in, like, a flannel, just a little disheveled, but still looking great.
Yeah, and she, like, has spunk. I see it. I'm fine with that. Ethan Snitch.
Miles Teller.
Oh, great one.
Incredible choice.
Great one.
I mean, that's the answer. That's the one. Okay, I did have Sam Hunt.
Ooh.
Because I think he has the look and he can sing, obviously, and, you know, his career could use a boost like this. But Miles Teller is the answer. But everyone else, who did you have?
I had James Franco, which I hated. I had a very hard time picturing people in this book.
Okay. I could picture Ethan, like, abstractly, like, cap down, beard. Mm-hmm. But then I couldn't figure out an actor who looked like
him. What do you think about James Franco?
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think it's a no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think he's wrong.
Okay.
Taylor Lautner.
It's not the worst.
No, yours is worse.
They kept describing him as a pretty boy. So, like, that was where my mind went.
Okay. You know who would have been good, too, is, like, Zac Efron, because he could sing. Yeah. And he could do a little country, and he could expand
his... I feel like he has too much personality. Like, this guy was just, like, quiet and, like, introspective. Yes.
S-T-A-I-D.
Yes.
Ruth Hanna.
Dolly.
Reba.
I was thinking Reba, too. That's great.
I had Jane Fonda.
Oh, yeah.
That's not terrible.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jean Smart.
Okay, great one. Yes. Have you been watching Hacks?
No, but I got it from Hacks.
Like, oh, that's great.
She personified her for me.
Love it. Okay, great. I really am excited for this movie. I hope, like, they listen. And it's this. I think dream cast would be Annie Lee. I'm going with mine. But Lennon Sella would also be good.
Okay.
Ethan Miles Teller.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
And Ruth Hanna, I think, will be Dolly because she's going to be in it.
She has to be.
She also could just be, like,
someone who walks
by.
She
could play Dolly Parton and, like, you know, she's at the CMAs and her picture's on the wall and she runs into her down. You know what I mean? She might, like,
she'd cameo. Be, like, a famous woman in the industry.
Exactly. Okay, so now it is time for our overall rating of this book. I've really enjoyed our time with it. I've enjoyed our discussion. And I look forward to hearing what you guys rated it. I personally am giving it 4.5.
Nice.
Hey.
Snitch.
Can someone else go?
Sure, Dana.
3.5.
3.5. Great. Rebecca.
3.5.
Why did you...
3.7.
Okay, why? Nice. Were you, like, nervous?
She just wanted to adjust hers depending on what we said.
Yeah, because I was like, if I'm the only one who's not doing a 4, like...
Oh, when has that ever stopped you? Ever.
Please. No, that's because when I, like, violently hate a book. I didn't violently hate this whatsoever.
Okay, well, our overall Redheads rating for the book is a 3.8. Which
feels right.
Perfect.
Okay. Oh, ladies.
Good to be back. Now it's time for the other books we read this month. Snitch, let's start with you because I called you a number of times and you were reading, so you better have something to share with us.
I read Things We Never Got Over by Lucy Score. Oh my God, it was so good. It was literally...
I'm seeing that everywhere.
It was porn and it was fantastic. It was so good. And it was just like it was also the same fucking trope of, like, All Roads Lead Here and The Simple Wild. But this was the best one of the three. So I wish out of the tropes, like, that was the book that I chose. However, it was over 500 pages. So I'm glad that I didn't do that.
Well, so was All Roads Lead Here.
Yeah, that's true. But I would rate it like 5 stars. I loved it.
Wow. Amazing. I only read one book this month. I read Start Without Me by Gary Jannetty. It's a book of short stories. So good, so funny. I would recommend it to anyone because it's such a great digestible way to read. It's his second book. The first one's also amazing. Read both. I rated it 5 stars, but just a caveat that my nonfiction rating scale is very different from my fiction rating scale. So, but it was everything you could want out of, like, a celebrity short story book. And I started another book that I'm not done with. This is, like, I'm so off kilter. Every month I'm, like, halfway through a book when I start the Redheads book. But I'm just reading a book called The Plaza, and it's a history of the Plaza Hotel. It's nonfiction, and it's good. It's just, like, a little long.
Speaking of books that we're in the middle of, I do have to say that today the third book in the American Royal series came out called Rivals.
Have you read it yet?
I, like, read the first few pages. I'm taking it very slowly because it's literally, I love. So I don't want to just, like,
rush it.
You'll give us the recap next month.
Okay, yeah.
Can't wait. Bex?
I read a book called The Beach House by Rachel Hanna. And it was super, super short. Like, one night I couldn't read and I basically finished it. Or, I'm sorry, one night I couldn't sleep, and during my inability to sleep, I basically finished it. So if anybody's looking to, like, add something to their Goodreads and get it checked off, it could be a good choice. It was cute. I think it's part of a multiple book series.
Who wrote it?
Rachel Hanna.
Rachel Hanna. Okay, cool. Was it made into a movie?
It very there are well
so
could
many
have
books
been
called The Beach House.
100%. That's why I pulled up it on my Kindle, because I was like, I need to clarify which author wrote this book, because I think there might be 600.
Yeah.
Because I Googled it when I didn't have my Kindle trying to find it, and I was like, I have no idea.
Got it. Okay, that's really confusing. So Rachel Hanna, The Beach House. Yeah. Great to know.
Jax, you would like it.
Okay, cool. I'll check
and
it out.
And that was the only book I read this month.
Dana? Yeah.
I read amazing books this month. I've been looking forward to this section for so long. First is Notes on an Execution by Danya Kukafka. I rated this a 4.8. It like might be second best to A Little Life. It was incredible. I was obsessed with it. But a million trigger warnings, it is one of the darkest books I've ever read. So, like, don't read it if you don't want to be scarred psychologically for the rest of your life. Okay. But it was unbelievable.
Oh, is that Thank something you. That you want?
Thank like, you for the warning.
Oh, my God.
That's Dana's favorite.
Well, A Little Life is so, so, so dark. And, like, if you didn't realize it, you would be pretty upset yes. after.
Yes, you know, I needed to put it out there. But, like, I would still recommend it. Oh, my God, so good. The next was a Becky's recommendation, which I loved. The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks by Rebecca Skloot. I gave it a 3.8. True story. Loved it. It was about a woman whose cells forever replicated. So, like, her cells are immortal, and it just goes through her whole history and her family's. And it was a fascinating read.
It's a true story. I talked about it in our Patreon episode. Oh. Of, like, a book that affected me.
What does that mean, her cells are forever replicated?
Her cells are like an anomaly. Like, they forever replicate, and so like they don't die, so they can do a lot of research on them because like the experiment can be replicated and tried again, and it can be like used as like the constant, whereas like our cells would just die if they were like exposed. Did I explain that right? It's been a while since I read it. No, that's
exactly right. And they were ovarian cancer cells that they took, so like normal cells will definitely die, and then most cancer cells die after a few days, but these just never stopped.
Oh.
Yeah, so very fascinating. Loved it. Thank you, Becky.
Anytime.
Next, I read The Perfect Nanny by Leila Slimani. Really good book. Gave it a 3.9. Also pretty dark, but like not as dark, so if you can stomach it, great book. And the last book I read was Between Two Kingdoms by Salika Jawad. I gave it a 4.5. It was incredible. Another memoir. These were two nonfiction books for me. You may have heard of this woman. She is now married to John Batiste. And it chronicles her battle with cancer. And it was just incredibly well written. And I would recommend it to literally anyone. It was such a good book.
Wow. Where do you find these books?
Oh, my God. Funny you ask. I have this like friend of a friend who I follow on Instagram who posts books sometimes, and that's where I found The Push. So ever since then, I've taken very seriously her posts, and Notes on an Execution was by her that she posted, and I ran into her on the street so randomly, and I was like, I have to stop you. Like, hi, I'm friends with so-and-so. That's how you know me. But also, like, I was obsessed with that book. Do you have any other recs? And then she gave me Between Two Kingdoms. So she has not failed.
Your new girl.
Seriously.
Stay close.
And the other one I got from then stalking Sulika after finishing her book, looking at her Instagram, and she's like a big writer and posts books that she loves, and she posted about The Perfect Nanny, so that's how I read that. And then The Immortal Life was through Writ, so all recommendations.
Wow, very, very cool. Thank you for sharing. Great reading month. Now it is time to put this episode to bed and to look to the future. For our next episode, we'll be reading a Becky's Choice. Bex, what will we be reading?
Ladies, and gentlemen, any redheads, we will be reading a book that I'm excited to say I selected because I found it in the Redheads group and there was wonderful chatter around it. And I thought, we are still in a deficit and need to continue the streak of goodness. Yeah. So I'll choose a book that the Redheads have said that they know and love, and if they don't, then they can come for each other, not for me.
Interesting theory.
The book is Girls with Bright Futures. It's a book by Tracy Dobmeyer and Wendy Katzman. I think it's going to be like sort of a Snitch's Choice route for us.
Love that.
I'm excited. A little divergence.
Love
if you know
the
what
girlies
I mean.
Crossover.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to do the next book in Ghosts of Gotham because I know how much we all loved that.
I didn't hate it.
I know. I honestly didn't hate it, especially after like reading Our Country Friends after, which was like the most toxic.
Oh my God, Our Country Friends
book.
That was the worst such fucking
a
book.
Dark.
I loved it.
No, you didn't.
You didn't, you little thief.
I can't stop thinking about it.
No. Stop. Oh, my God. Okay, well, I'm so excited for next month. Thank you, Bex, for your choice. Thank you to all the redheads who are in this room for participating, sharing your opinions, sharing your time. And thank you to all the redheads who are listening. We love you, and we will see you on the next one. Make sure to follow us at The Redheads on Instagram. Engage with us. You know, we're always posting. We want to know what you're reading. That's where you get so many of our recommendations, and we just love this little community. So we appreciate you being a part of it. We will see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye. Bye.